Welcome to CCC's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, March 15th, 2024. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW Executive Editor, joins me today from New York City. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So I had a chance to attend the London Book Fair this week, Andrew, and I can confirm the published accounts that the show delivered three very successful days for the global book business.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I was not there in London. I was in New York this week having major FOMO. It was a very busy week. But at the same time, I want to shout out the great work by our editorial team that was there, John Marr and Ed Nwaka, who saw a lot of people, heard a lot of talks, and filed a lot of copy. And I think if there was a theme for this year's show that emerged, I think it was that this year's London Book Fair was a huge step back toward book fairs and why we need them. And why are they so important after a few sort of lackluster years in the wake of the pandemic? Now, you can read all of our coverage of the London Book Fair online. And one of the things that I think we heard consistently this year was that this was the most vibrant, exciting show since COVID and maybe even before COVID. And I think there are probably a few reasons for that. One is something we talked about on this show when we previewed the fair, and that is that the Americans were back in force, including executives that either didn't come or only came for a short visit last time. There were also a lot of first-time attendees. And I think another reason is that the London Book Fair really did a great job of sort of, you know, turning what appeared to be at first sort of a sour lemon, having to move from the lovelier spring weather of April to the harsher weather of early March into lemonade, right? They sort of really leaned into the role of having the first international book fair on the publishing industry calendar and use that to sort of set the tone for the global publishing conversation. They really leaned into that very effectively, and it appears from this year's fair that they really pulled that off. By all reports, the very narrow halls at Olympia were exceptionally crowded this year. The sessions were often overflowing to the point where the major complaint we heard was that it was too hard to get into sessions and that it was too crowded, which after the COVID years, that's a very good problem to have now. Publishers and agents told us that the Wright Center was jam-packed and that there was a lot of business being done, which is another thing that London has done very well. It has expanded who can come to book fairs now, right? Or who should be at book fairs, right? They really brought in sort of what they call book-adjacent industries like film and TV and tech. So it wasn't just book rights being sold and talked about here. It was all kinds of rights for creative content. Another positive factor, the economy. You know, not only were exchange rates pretty good for the Americans this year, but at last year's fair, it was a tough time, right? Inflation was surging, costs were like spiraling out of control, and printing and supply chain issues were a mess. You know, at his talk last year, Brian Murray, CEO of HarperCollins in the U.S., said the book business was in the midst of a hangover after a few incredible sales years during the pandemic. This year, he changed his tune, telling reporters that the fair was sort of, everything was sort of back to pre-COVID levels and that there was actually a lot of optimism. Now, of course, it's not all great news for the book business. The panels and the programs and talk around the fair revealed a number of very serious concerns facing the book business too, right? You know, predominantly the war in Ukraine and in Gaza among them, issues of ongoing censorship in this really uncertain global political environment we're in, book banning, and of course, the rise of AI and its implications for the book business. Audio was a huge bright spot again, but even that has become somewhat of a thorny discussion, with Spotify's model drawing a lot of scrutiny. And indeed, in London, there were billboards around the city saying, don't let Spotify do to authors what they did to musicians, which we could spend an entire podcast unpacking. But again, I think this is why book fairs are important, right? And why they work. You know, they get people together to share perspectives and engage with issues. And even though many of these issues are very serious, the global book business got to spend 3 days together in London doing business and talking about and hearing about what's going on in the industry and to sort of revel in it. And frankly, I think it's a huge deal. As London officials had hoped, I think this year's London Book Fair really did set the agenda for the rest of the year. And I'm really looking forward to see what happens at other book fairs this year. Anyway, we have a lot of coverage online. You can check it all out on the PW website and in Monday's issue. Very engaging, almost pre-COVID-like London Book Fair.
The Public Library Association Conference opens in Columbus, Ohio on April 3rd, Andrew. In Monday's issue, you preview the show.
Yeah, no question. It's been a really challenging few years for public libraries and public librarians especially, and school librarians too, of course, who after doing heroic work in their communities during the darkest days of the pandemic, emerged to find tightening budgets and workplace stress and safety concerns and, of course, deep political attacks on the freedom to read and on library boards and even now on library associations like the ALA. A number of states are now advancing bills that would bar their states from engaging with ALA based on some, well, some straight up, well, I'm not going to say the word, some straight up BS. But like London, there is a lot of excitement and a lot of good news, I think, ahead of the PLA annual conference, which is set for Columbus beginning on April 3rd, as you said. Registrations are way up. They're around 6,500 so far, and I'm told that number is still climbing. And that is a significant jump over the last PLA conference, which was held in Portland, Oregon, back in March 2022. That show blew past expectations. It was considered a great success by drawing nearly 5,000 in-person attendees, this amid a spike in COVID cases. Now, 6,500 is still a bit below where PLA was, like this show was before the pandemic, when it would generally draw 8,000 to 9,000 every 2 years. We should point out that the PLA conference is held every 2 years. But it's not much below previous attendance levels. And like London this year, it feels to me, and it feels to like a lot of librarians and PLA conference organizers, that this could be the year where, you know, librarians feel like they're nearly all the way back after some serious pandemic disruptions, at least in terms of what's going on at conferences. There is just a lot of energy and excitement around this show. Now, that said, as in London, it is still tough in libraries right now, right? There's still a lot of challenges that librarians are dealing with, without a doubt. And all you have to do is look at the program picks in our preview that's out Monday's issue that will show how many sessions are dealing with book banning and other challenges. But I think it's clear that librarians are eager to come together and be together to discuss these challenges. That's a very positive development here. And this year's PLA program is a very good program. It's got a lot of great speakers, including one of my all-time favorite writers, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and a professional program that's going to cover everything from, as I said, book bans to AI and to diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. And I think most importantly, it's going to offer public librarians a few days to get some perspective, pick up a few new tools for their tool belts, and to recharge. So that's all in Monday's issue. We're really looking forward to this year's Public Library Association meeting in Columbus.
Data out this week from the American Library Association makes clear that the list of book bans in public libraries is growing.
Yes, the ALA's Office of Intellectual Freedom this week reported a massive spike in titles challenged in 2023. With the full year's data now in, ALA reports that challenges to individual unique book titles surged 65% in 2023 compared to 2022, reaching the highest levels ever documented by the association. In a press release, ALA officials said more than 4,200, in fact, 4,240, I believe, unique titles were reported challenged in schools and libraries in 2023. And that really is just a shocking increase over 2022, when I think there were like 2,500 unique titles targeted for censorship. And that was a shocking jump over 2021, where the number was like 1,800. So things are still going in the wrong direction when it comes to book bans, despite some big wins in the courts for freedom to read advocates in the beginning of this year. Now, on the other hand, ALA officials reported that tracked challenges actually ticked down a little this year. There were 1,247 challenges reported in 2023, and that's down from 1,269 challenges in 2022. But ALA officials are quick to stress that that does not mean that book bans and attempts to ban books are decreasing. And again, they point to the unique titles challenged as the real measure here, noting that prior to 2021, the vast majority of challenges tracked by the ALA involved a single person looking to challenge a single book. Now what we're seeing is organized political movements and the sharing of these book lists compiled by various groups. And the overwhelming majority, over 90% of the challenges now coming in, are these organized challenges that involve multiple titles. As Deborah Caldwell Stone, who's director of the ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom, noted, the reports from librarians and educators in the field make it clear that the organized campaign to ban books are not over. And again, as I said, we've had some good news to start the year with some high-profile legal victories, but we are not out of the woods yet. And I'm afraid we're going to have to double down if we want to push back against this pernicious wave of book bans.
After 3 years, Andrew, ALA has announced it will close the wintertime LibLearnX conference.
Yeah, so a little counterbalance to all the talk about trade shows coming back strong in London and the excitement building for PLA in Columbus. After 3 years, which included one virtual event and two pretty modestly attended in-person show, the American Library Association announced this week that it's going to cease its LibLearnX January conference after next year's meeting in Phoenix. That event is set for January 24 through the 27th, 2025. In Phoenix, that's going to go ahead as planned, but then that's going to be it for LibLearnX. Now, for a little background, LibLearnX was years in the planning, right? The changes for LibLearnX were in the works well before COVID, and this show was designed to take the place of ALA's long-running midwinter meeting, which was, you know, finally retired in 2021 after 107 shows dating back to 1908. The midwinter meeting took its final bow with a virtual event because of the pandemic. But that show used to draw around 7,000 attendees. I think the last gathering in Philadelphia in 2020, just before the pandemic, drew over 8,000. But in fact, attendance for the midwinter meeting had been trending down for a long time. ALA members clearly wanted an alternative to traveling in January, so they put together a committee and they came up with LibLearnX. But the show, it just really never took off. ALA reported that the second in-person LibLearnX conference this year in Baltimore drew just 2,000 attendees. And that's a sharp decline from the 2,600 who attended the first in-person event in New Orleans in 2023. Now, the decline in attendance was not unexpected. We should point this out because there is a PLA conference this year, right? Every 2 years, there's a PLA conference. And even when LibLearnX was the ALA midwinter meeting, PLA years meant that that January show was going to have leaner attendance. Still, by the close of this year's LibLearnX, it was really clear that LibLearnX was in trouble. There were just too many empty seats and really lukewarm support from the vendor community. And I'll just, you know, close here with a couple of quick observations. And the first is that this show never really stood a chance, right? Its launch was clearly impacted by the COVID-19 crisis, which made in-person shows very challenging. Right, the inaugural LibLearnX had been set to be live in San Antonio, Texas, I believe, in 2022, January 2022, and that was forced to go virtual, and that's hardly an ideal start. But despite the modest attendance of the in-person shows for the last 2 years, the librarians that I spoke to who were there said that that show actually delivered exactly what ALA members had asked for when the association began reimagining the future of the midwinter meeting back in 2017. Fewer meetings, more educational offerings, more hands-on programming, still an engaging speaker program for attendees, but a lot more time to spend with your peers. It really did deliver on a lot of that. Still, they were dealt a tough hand, and LibLearnX clearly suffered from an identity crisis. And let's be honest, the name of the show never really caught on either. It's a bad name, LibLearnX. I think if we're going to talk about having another show, it just has to go back to being the midwinter meeting, something that people can relate to and understand. Anyway, in the end, too many librarians told me this, that they just simply didn't see the value proposition in attending a show in January, and that it was just too hard to justify the travel cost to attend LibLearnX. So to put a bow on all of this, I think we're beginning to see from London and from the numbers at PLA that people really do want to be together again at fairs and conferences like London, like PLA. Those shows have value, and that value is being articulated to people who would come. But the conference has to make sense too. And I'm afraid LibLearnX, despite the best intentions and the way it was designed, and despite being dealt a really tough hand to start, in the end, it just didn't measure up.
Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly Executive Editor, thanks for joining me today with your reporting and editorial analysis.
My pleasure, as always.
That's all for now. Our producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. Subscribe to Velocity of Content wherever you go for podcasts, and don't miss an episode of the show. The CCC podcast is also available on the CCC YouTube channel. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for joining me.